How many people are excited to be in the house of God? Amen. Impact, can we celebrate the amazing worship ministry of this house? Can we celebrate everybody that's serving out there? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Impact, today we're beginning a new and exciting message series titled Four Faces. Somebody say Four Faces. One more time, Four Faces. Now, I know Four Faces is rather interesting, so for the first time, I decided to have a second title, and that second title is Exceptional People. So one more time, let's say that together. Exceptional, maybe just one more time. Exceptional People. Well, Impact, today on our anniversary, I believe that our world is in desperate need of exceptional people. Amen. Our world is in desperate need of exceptional men and women. Ordinary will not do it. Our world is in desperate need of exceptional fathers and mothers, exceptional men and women, exceptional sons and daughters, exceptional businessmen. Come on, somebody. Exceptional governmental leaders, exceptional pastors. Somebody, amen. Exceptional people, exceptional citizens of our world. How many people can agree with me that ordinary will not do anymore? We need exceptional people. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you an exceptional person? Don't let them scare you. Turn to the other side and ask the other person, just ask them, are you an exceptional person? If they scare you, smack them at the back of the head and just say, are you an exceptional person? Because ordinary will not do. Amen. Now I need somebody who can encourage themselves and just say, I am an exceptional person. Come on. Come on. If you know you're all that in a bag of chips, come on, just celebrate yourself and say, I am special. I am exceptional. Once in a while, you've got to learn to celebrate yourself. Come on. When God created me, he said, I won't do that again because that's too good. Come on, somebody. You're special. You're exceptional. That's why you have a set of fingerprints that have never existed before, past, present, or future. When God created you, he said, I won't do that again. God said, that's good. Hallelujah. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, saw a vision of God. He saw a vision of God. And when he saw God, he saw four faces. Somebody say four faces. That's interesting. Somebody's thinking, oh my God, this is some spooky stuff. No, just hang on. How many people know the Bible has to be understood by revelation? So I'm more interested in what those four faces represent than just the faces themselves. But it's interesting. John sees God and he sees four faces. And then Ezekiel the prophet also sees God and he sees four faces. What were the faces? I'm so glad you asked. I was hoping all week you would ask. Number one, it was the face of a lion. Somebody say lion. Please write that down. We got Simba up here in the building. Here's my lion. Come on. Somebody help me. Come on. Can we welcome Simba? The second face he saw was the face of an ox. Now, this was the best ox I could find, yo. It's more like a pony. And the third face that John saw and Ezekiel saw was a face of a man, face of a man. So we went to a salon. They put glasses on that bad boy. And the fourth face that John saw was a face of an eagle. Come on, let's celebrate Dave. Now, Dave, you know I'm going to do this. I'm going to need you to do something for me. Dave, come on, please wear that bad boy. And I need you to stand here for the rest of the service. Come on. All right, Dave, thank you. Let's appreciate Dave. Now, both John and Ezekiel, when they saw God, God had four faces. He was represented by four faces. The Bible says, let truth be established in the mouth of more than two witnesses. So it's established. This is how God looks. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it. Can we check this in the Bible? Amen. So let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open. Where? In heaven. Where? And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. Next verse. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. Hey, buddy. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Thank you, Dave, for showing us that. That's what John saw. Now, let's prove that this is also what Ezekiel saw. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. On July 31 of my 30th year, while I was with the Judean exile beside the Kibar River in Babylon, the heavens were opened. What opened? What opened? The heavens were opened, and I saw. Who did I see? I saw visions of God. And what did that look like? Verse 9 explains to us. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the beings beside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face. In the front, the face of a lion on the right side, face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Did we prove this? He saw visions of God, saw heaven, and they saw four faces. Somebody shout four. Put your four up. Come on. Put your four. Make it look cool. Do something creative with it. Four faces. Four faces. I want you to know that these four faces represent the four primary characteristics of God. These four faces represent the four major characteristics of God. Let's start with the lion. Please write this down if you're writing. The lion represents the powerful nature of God. How many people know our God is powerful? Please write this scripture down. Isaiah 9, verse 6. If you read that whole thing, it introduces God to us, not just as a mighty God. The Bible says he's the almighty God. It's not just mighty. He's almighty, which means everything that's against you is in trouble, because any power, any authority that's against you is in trouble, because there's only one who's all powerful, and his name is Jesus. How many people know we serve a mighty God? Come on, I need a few believers in this place to take a moment, put their hands together, and celebrate a powerful God. I am so glad I celebrate a powerful God. Not every religion can say that. Our God rose from the dead. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but Muhammad never rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, somebody give me a good amen in that place. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the lion represents the powerful nature of God. The Bible says in Psalms that his very voice breaks the cedars. It says the mountains melt at the sound of his voice. That's how powerful he is. He's a God of vengeance. He's a no-nonsense God. He's known as the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord of armies. He's got angels as his armies, and they protect you. That's good news. But not only is he powerful, he's an ox. And the ox represents the servanthood nature of God. Please write that down. The ox represents the servanthood nature of God. He's compassionate. He wants to serve you. He wants to love on you. He wants to care for you. He's a caretaker. And Impact Church, let me say this to you. Many times as church and religious people, we've done an amazing job of introducing God as a lion, but we've done a miserable job as introducing God as an ox. We've told people he's powerful. Your Sunday school teacher told you he's powerful. If you get in trouble, he's going to mess you up. He's going to bunk you with a baseball bat. And so we relate to God just as a lion. If you do that, you're right, but you're very incomplete. And so we have people who don't like to come to church because all they see is lions and they don't see the ox. And I believe we're living in a generation where people have to see the ox as well as the lion. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And that's what we did today. That's what we did today. When a church gives a check to the community, we're saying we're not just here to judge you. Come on, somebody. We're not here to just say you're going to hell and all that stuff that the old church did. We're saying we're here to work with you. We're here to serve. Dr. Maurice, what do you need? We'll take care of it. We're here to serve. So he is a lion, but he knows how to stoop down and serve. And serve. So the ox represents the servanthood nature of God. How many people are ready for the face of the man? Please write this down. The face of a man represents the relational nature of God. Face of a man represents the relational nature of God. Hallelujah. He is relational. This fascinates me. I don't know about you, but this fascinates me that the God who created the universe, the God who created the Grand Canyons, and the God who created the oceans, the God who created the mountains, desires to relate with little Zenzo. This fascinates me. Fascinates me. He wants to relate with you. God is relatable. He is friendly. And Jesus came to introduce God as Abba. That's a term of endearment. He is Daddy God. Yes, we should fear him. He's a lion. But I want you to know he invites you. We need to learn as a church, we need to learn to just lay on his lap, on the lap of Daddy God. Come on, let's put our hands together and celebrate this good God. Hallelujah. Are you glad he's good? I am so glad he's good. I am so glad he's relatable. The Bible says in Psalm 37, it says, God laughs at his enemies. Did you know that God laughs? Because some preacher told you if you laugh, you lose your anointing. No. God is relatable. He has a sense of humor. He laughs. Jesus came on earth and he lived and shared his life with men and women. He shared his life with his disciples. He was intimate with them. God is relatable. How many people are ready for the ego? Now, the ego represents the excellence of God. The excellence of God. Yes, he's relatable, but make no mistake, he's a big God. He's a big God. It's amazing that scientists continue to prove that the God we serve is truly amazing and excellent. That's what scientists are doing. Recently, they discovered that the soul does not die. They just discovered this about 2 weeks ago. I could have told them that. They're just coming around to this. Isn't it amazing that if our earth would move just a quarter inch closer to the sun, we would all burn to death? We would all be barbecued. And if our earth would move a quarter inch away from the sun, we would all freeze to death. This is the excellence of our God. He's created the sun, the moon, the stars. Come on, he's told the earth to go around the sun, and he's told the moon to go around the earth, and they've never run out of battery. 4.5 billion years later, it's still functional. You and I have to charge our phones every now and then, every night actually, but God's system is still functional. This is the excellence of God. Come on, somebody help me celebrate the excellence of our God. He's an excellent God. Mars and Jupiter, they all travel in their own orbits. No accidents, baby. This is the excellence of our God. Yes, he's a lion. He's an ox. Come on, somebody. Face of a man. He's relatable. And he's excellent. And the mistake we've done in the church is that we've introduced a very imbalanced picture of God. We've told them he's a lion. They told you more about this. Parents told you about this. You put on your suit, son, because God's going to beat you up. Tuck in your shirt, son. So you feared God. And you never learned that you can relate with him. Hallelujah. There are four Gospels in the New Testament. How many people know those? Matthew. It's a good church. Did you know that theologians have proven that the book of Mark introduces God as a lion? It shows the power of God. And then the book, Matthew, Mark, the book of Mark introduces our God as a servant. There are 37 miracles that are recorded in all the four Gospels, 37 miracles, and 20 of them are in the book of Mark because God wants to serve his people. He wants to nurture his people. He's concerned about what concerns you. He wants to come to your aid. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's a good God. And then the book of Luke shows us a relatable God. The book of Luke has the most parables because God becomes relatable. God becomes this grandpa who's just telling stories to his children. That's how relatable he is. And then the book of John introduces the excellence of God. You know, it's amazing that John does not even take too much time walking us through the process of the birth of Jesus as a little child in a manger. No, John just comes out swinging because his responsibility is to introduce this excellent God. John just says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was the light of man, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus is introduced in John as God, not even as a baby. Because the excellence of God is introduced by John. Now listen to me, Impact. We're committed in this church to not play church. We're committed to raise up an exceptional people. And the question is, who is an exceptional person? I'm so glad you asked. Please write this down. An exceptional person is a person who has all the four faces of God operating in them. An exceptional person is a person who has all the four faces of God operating in them. Which means, please write this down as well, you are a person that walks in authority and power. At the same time, you're humble enough to serve others. You're relatable. Yeah. And you operate in a spirit of excellence. Let me say that again. An exceptional person is a person, thank you. An exceptional person is a person who operates in authority. You have power. You are a courageous person. You're convicted. You're resolute. You have a vision. You stand on what you believe in. You believe in some values. You believe in values so much that you can confront and correct to stand with your values. You don't mess around. You're a serious person. At the same time, you're humble enough to serve others. And then at the same time, you're relatable. Can we be honest that sometimes church people are just not relatable? Come on, talk to me, somebody. We've got to learn how to laugh once in a while. Come on. Some church people don't even know how to laugh anymore. Church people don't know how to be friends. Come on, somebody. We've got to learn how to be friendly. You're not going to lose your salvation if you play a little pool once in a while. Come on, somebody. Play some basketball. Come on, somebody. You should not be dancing and jumping only in church when you worship. Come on. You got to be out there. Hang out with people. Introduce yourself to your neighbors. Hey, I'll preach. No, I'm going to teach you there. Let me teach. Let me calm down. Don't get me going up in the air. But listen, we're here to raise up a church of a people that are relatable in the name of Jesus. I believe people need to see a church of a people that are loving, welcoming, relatable. Gone are the days where mothers are praying in the church all day and they're speaking in tongues and they're celebrating, but they can't even relate to their own daughters. Yeah. Gone are the days where men are traveling around town preaching Jesus and their children are neglected. The most powerful and anointed thing some of us will do in this generation, in this season, is to read your kids' bedtime stories. You want to be anointed? Show me how you serve your wife. Show me how you serve your children. Come on, if we're going to clap, let's do it well. Come on, we've got to change. We are playing church. It's time to be a people that look like God. And then excellence. Let's be an excellent people. Are you dependable? Can I say to you something that is so powerful? Here's a revelation. I'm going to tweet this myself. Christians go to work on time. Ooh, that was good. That was good. I'm going to buy this tape myself. Come on, excellence. Let's not misrepresent Jesus. Don't be late for work because you were praying in the morning. No. Pray while you drive. Get to work on time. It's time for people out there to see a church people that operate by excellence. Go to work on time. Don't have extended lunches. Don't leave early. Be an excellent person. The Christians should be dependable and reliable. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. I'm not impressed by religious people. Hallelujah, brother. Receive Jesus. You got to receive Jesus. And you have 20 bucks, man. Come on, somebody. We got to change that church. Come on. I'm here to start a revolution. Somebody celebrate with me in this place. I'm here to change this. I'm here to start a revolution of a church people that represent God. They represent the four faces of God. They represent a balanced image of God. It's not just the power. We've got to have the power. But can you serve? Can you be relatable? Are you approachable? What do the people in your life say? And are you excellent? Can you operate on time? Get things done. Somebody say amen. I was hanging out with a preacher one time who said to me, Zenzo, I love to preach, but I can't stand people. I wanted to say to him, no wonder your church is in traba. Because after that, he was like, I don't know why my church is struggling. Can you tell me, what are you guys doing over there at Impact? I said, well, if you love to preach, you love to be a lion, but you don't like to be an ox. Because an ox has to serve. It's tough to be an ox. It's uncomfortable. You're going to be turned in a direction that you don't want to go to. You're going to feel the pain. You're going to feel something. The ox works long hours and serves. And many people like to be lions, but not many people like to serve. We've got to change this. Let me tell you this. It's very tough to find exceptional people in this generation. I want to give you a test. I want you to think of just three people who are exceptional in your life. Someone you know who's exceptional, which means they're very powerful, they're courageous, they have a vision, they're resolute. They stand on their convictions. They will fight for what they believe in, even if they become unpopular. That's the lion. But at the same time, they're willing to serve. They can serve. And then at the same time, they're relatable, approachable, reachable. And at the same time, they get this, they get stuff done. Reliable. If they tell you I'll be here at 4 o'clock, they'll be there on time. Their word can be counted. Yeah. Try to find three people you can write down who are exceptional people. Very difficult to find in this world. And the thing that I struggle with is that it's even more difficult to find exceptional people in the church. Hey, we love the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, ooh, yeah. Oh, I feel it. We like that. That's why people out there think we are a joke. They think we are a joke. Alright, show up on time. Hey, you're 20 minutes late. What happened? Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what happened? The traffic light, you know. And then I was, you know, the Lord spoke to me. Well, if the Lord is speaking to you, why can't the Lord speak to you to organize your life so you can be on time? It's very difficult to find exceptional people. Excuses for days. We've got to change this in the name of Jesus. Come on. At Impact Church, we're raising a community of exceptional people in the name of Jesus. A powerful people, humble enough to serve, relatable, and they get things done. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, Jesus was an exceptional person. Can you see Jesus? He goes into the house of God and they're selling stuff in the house of God. And he looks them in their faces and he spanks them. And I mean, Jesus went Bruce Lee on them. I mean, he went Jackie Chan on them. I love those movies. I mean, Jesus is no nonsense. He'll bring the lion out. He bit them down. Hallelujah. I'm looking for Christians that can defend the faith. Come on, we're raising Christians that are just too scared. Things are happening. People are changing the Bible. Come on, you've got to be willing to be a lion once in a while and speak what saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Jesus, can you see Jesus? After he's done beating people up, overturning tables. I mean, you'd think it's a ghetto party. I mean, Jesus is just like, he's swinging, he's turning tables. Yeah. I mean, he's going in. And then after that, he finds a young lady, right? She's been caught in the act of adultery. The powerful men of the city are judging her. This poor little girl, this poor little girl is there, ashamed, sitting down crying, feeling miserable, and all the powerful people are ready to stone her. And he stoops down. Can you see him? He says, I don't judge you. Where are your accusers? Come on, I'm waiting for a church that can do that. We've judged people too long. And say, I'm going to serve you. And what's interesting is that why were they stoning the girl? Where was the dude who she was messing around with? That's what I want to know. Because you know what I think? I think it was one of the Pharisees she was messing around with. And this is what happens with people that just are strong in the lion and they don't serve. They become hypocritical. They judge people and they pin people down. Jesus serves her. And then he looks around at the other powerful people. And then he says, let he who has no sin throw the first stone. And they begin to walk away. Jesus knew when to be a lion and Jesus knew when to be an ox. Sometimes it's not screaming that gets the job done. Sometimes it's just serving that gets the job done. Come on, hallelujah. You've got to know when to serve. Stop fighting with your kids all the time. Just hang out with them. Hang out with them. Stop fighting. I want you to do this. Go to church. Did you go to church? You didn't go to church again. Come on, Junior. Come on, Junior. No. Just hang out, Junior. Go to his basketball game. Come on, somebody. When Junior is listening to his music, one of these days, Mom, just walk in there with his sheds, okay? Just walk in there. Walk in Junior's bedroom while he's messing around. This is Mom. I'm talking about Mom. Just go in there. Junior, just join Junior. Come on. Let Junior be introduced to the relatable side of God. Junior doesn't need another spanking. He just needs to be affirmed. Needs to be affirmed. And Jesus was excellent. Not only was he an ox, he was also the face of man, relatable. Do you remember this? Jesus goes to the house of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector, which means if he lived today, he would be the equivalent of the mafia. There's a meeting going on. There's crowds there. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus. He looks at the wise guy. He says, you know, I love Italian movies. He looks at Zacchaeus and he's like, hey, Andolini, come down, Andolini. Today I'm going to go to your house. We're going to eat linguine and bruschetta. We're going to eat poco bisogno and tomato. And can you see this mafia guy? Like he's going to come to my house. I don't think Zacchaeus was in a tree because he was short. I think he was in a tree because he had stolen from so many people. He was scared he was going to get killed. So can you see Jesus? He shows up at Zacchaeus' house. All the other wise guys are there. The Bible says other tax collectors were there. Hey, Fazulo. Hey, come here. Jesus is here today. Maria. They bring everybody in. Can you see Zacchaeus? He's so proud of himself. Jesus, this is my own fresh bear, so I make this myself in the backyard. And he's there. And the Pharisees are crazy, upset. That's what religious people do, upset. And then that day, Zacchaeus is convicted. The Bible says Jesus comes in and says, today, salvation has come into this house. Jesus was relatable. Come on, hallelujah. This is the God we serve. Not only that, he was a God of excellence. Jesus had excellence. Somebody came to him to trip him up. He said, should we pay our taxes? That guy wanted to cheat on his taxes. Jesus said, yes. Let's render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Let's be dependable. Let's be reliable. Let's be people who do what we say we're going to do. Jesus had all the four faces represented in them. So I have a question for you. Do you have all the four faces represented in you? Because, Bobby, here's what I found. Most guys that have lions in them, they're strong, A-type personalities. They get things done. And most people who have lion also have an ego. They get things done. They're very organized, orderly. They get things done. But most of those guys don't have an ox, and they don't have the face of a man. Many times they're prideful, very strong. They run people over. They build great businesses at the expense of people. And then what I found is most of the times when you find people that have the ox in the face of a man, they are so nice they can't get anything done. Can we get something done around here? Happy-go-lucky all the time. Yeah. You're a nice guy, but sometimes you got to have a little lion in you. Come on. You got to correct somebody once in a while, or you'll never get anything done. You got to put things in order. But at the same time, you got to get things done. There's got to be excellence. Jesus had all the four faces. Somebody shout hallelujah. Impact Church, I'm so excited to announce that here today on our third year anniversary, I believe that Impact Church has all the four faces. I believe that Impact Church is an exceptional church. Come on, I need somebody to help me celebrate what God is doing in this place. This is an exceptional church. And I'll tell you why. How many people can say Impact Church shows excellence in this place? Come on, three services, their systems. I mean, look at everything. Look at how things are. We are only 3 years old. How many people say that Impact Church is a welcoming and relatable church? Come on, have you been welcomed here? Has somebody celebrated you? And how many people can say Impact Church is a place where people serve? Come on, we have over 200 volunteers that serve. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. And if you're not serving yet, this is a good day to begin to be an ox in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to take this bad boy here. I'm going to put him at the door there. And everybody who's not serving yet needs to begin to serve, because it starts in the house of God. You've got to represent the full counsel of the Holy Spirit. And how many people know that Impact Church is a place where we encounter the power of God? Come on. Have you felt the presence of God in our worship? Have you felt the presence of God in our preaching? Come on. We've seen the sick healed in this place. That's power. And not only that, as a preacher, I don't only preach things that you want to hear. Because we've created a generation in America where preachers are not preaching things that are challenging anymore. We preach things that are difficult in this place, but we do it with love. We correct people in this place, but we do it with love. And we empower people because we represent the full counsel of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Now, Impact, I'm going to have them remove some of these things here. Somebody say next Sunday. Whatever you do, don't miss next Sunday, because next Sunday is going to be all about the lion. Come on, it's going to be all about the lion. Come on, let's remove Simba today. And thank you, Layla. Let's remove this bad boy here. Amen. And then let's remove the ego. And we're just going to stay with this guy. For the next 5 minutes, I want to talk to you about... You guys have faith in... Oh, my wife is about to pass out. Come on, I've been losing weight, honey. Come on. In the next few minutes, I want to just highlight... servanthood. Can we do that? I want to highlight servanthood, and then we're going to close. Thank you, Jesus. Three things I want to tell you about servanthood. Number one, servanthood is all about having the right attitude. Having the right attitude. Please write this down. An exceptional person knows that serving is not a sign of weakness, but strength. Serving is not a sign of weakness. There's nothing more disheartening than someone who's serving and complaining the whole time. You might as well stop. Because serving is all about providing solutions. How are you going to fix something if you're just complaining about the very thing that you're supposed to fix? Hallelujah. Listen, I'm a leader, And I watch out for people as they serve. I watch out very closely. Sometimes people get to a place where they feel entitled and they're not grateful anymore. How many people know it's a privilege to serve the Lord? God will not take 50% of your heart, and Pastor Zenzo does not take 50%. If we're going to serve the Lord, let's go all the way in this place in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, I'm just going to paraphrase. It simply says, as you work, work as unto the Lord. You're not working for human masters. You're working for God. Pastor Zenzo does not work for Impact Church. You don't work for your company. You work for God. So it's all about having the right attitude. Somebody say amen. Number two, servanthood is about sacrifice. It's about sacrifice. Please write this down. A true servant does not just do the least amount of work required of them, but they go the extra mile. They go the extra mile. We have too many people that desire to be a leader. We need to get more people that desire to be a servant. Because the world is changed by servant leaders. You're willing to serve people. And it's a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. If it's too convenient, it's not sacrifice and it's not servanthood. We're in a generation where people don't know how to serve anymore. You offended me, so I stopped serving. You did this, so I stopped. Show up on time. Do what you're supposed to do. Be dependable. Be reliable. And it's going to cost you something. Jesus says, let this cup pass over me, please. I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. This is difficult. But then he says, by your will, I'll do it. It was a sacrifice. Servanthood is all about sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Finally, servanthood is all about diligence. Diligence. Please write this down. Being a true servant is feeling tired, but still finishing what you started. As I finish this message, let me just yell at you. Let me say this. Finish what you started. Let me say it one more time. Finish what you started. Let me try this one more time. I said, finish what you started. Finish what you started. A commitment. Servanthood is about consistency. I'm committed. My word is my word. I'll finish what I started. We live in a generation where many people know how to start things, but they don't know how to finish. Hallelujah. Please stand if you can. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, come on, let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. And I declare that you are an exceptional people. An exceptional people in the name of Jesus. Every eye closed, you can't leave a place like this without saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. If you've never given your life to Jesus before, I want you to just shoot your hand up. I want to see your hand because I want to get a Bible in your hands. I want to give you something. And today, you become an exceptional person. You cannot become an exceptional person if you don't have Jesus in you. Jesus is a representation of those four faces. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, 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 hands. Hands in there. Yes, thank you. Thank you for those hands. Keep them up. Don't be shy. Keep them up. We want to get a Bible to you. I'm going to count again. If you want to receive Jesus, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. Just throw your hands up. Let's get you a Bible. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands. Hands in the air. Hands. Hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand up. We're going to get you a Bible. Now, Impact, let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I believe that you're the Son of God. And I confess that you died and rose again. Today, I'm a new person in you, in Jesus' name. Somebody celebrate in this place. Hallelujah. Come on.